This is the Brandt and Sherry Podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrandtHansen.com.
Another kind of different special edition podcast, and it's because we are taking a couple days off, so we thought we'd do some interviews and then long form. Really interesting. With Lisa Anderson, she is with Boundless.org.
And that's focused on the family, right?
Yeah, it's a division of it, and she deals with being single a lot. And the fact is, even though I think a lot of people perceive of church folk as being largely married, that's not even true anymore. Most households in general are headed by a single person now. That's the reality of the culture. And she is really interesting. She's always got strong takes on stuff. I appreciate her intelligence and insight on things and just always interesting. But she's doing something. She's in her 40s and she's single, and she's doing something that maybe a lot of people never thought about doing. That's kind of a radical thing. And Sherry caught this and thought it would make for a good podcast. And I do too. So we thought we'd get Sherry to interview Lisa here. I think that's how it's going to work. So you're going to pretty much guide this, aren't you, Sherry? Or do you want
me
to?
I thought you were.
Am I? Okay, good. Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
Again, showing our professionalism.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me okay? Awesome. Is it too muffled?
No, I can hear you guys okay. If you guys are talking over each other, it gets a little muffled, but I will attune my ear to you so that I can, yeah, it's not a problem.
All right. So don't talk over me, Sherry.
No. Say that again.
All right. Stop it.
Sorry. Okay, good. Go ahead.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know. Anyway, Lisa, you ever thought about being a producer on a radio show? I got a job opening.
Come on.
Hey, so, okay, let's talk. I want to talk about your book when it comes out strategically. But.
Oh, yeah.
This thing, we thought we would zone in on something which I thought was fascinating. You're thinking about moving in. You're buying a house with a friend. Is that correct?
I am, yeah. This was a decision made literally within the last 3.5 weeks.
Why are you doing this as a single person? So interesting.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's a couple things, and it's solving a couple issues for both of us, basically. So I have lived alone, I want to say, for about the last 13 years, probably. I had a roommate for a while, and she went off to seminary and never came back. And so been by myself since then, love it, love my space, love not talking to people after having talked to people all day. Mm-hmm. So it's great. But one of my best friends, she and I both own homes. So this is just, you know, whoa, American dream, whatever. We're caught in the middle of it. We own homes, but we thought to ourselves, okay, there are a couple things that could be solved here. One, she has a long commute to work. Two, I'm on kind of in a moving into a sketchier type neighborhood. And we thought to ourselves, this could be a great investment opportunity for the two of us. Why have two single girls rattling around in our own homes when we could rent them out? And the other thing is the opportunity to bless others with this, because we're going to pick a central location. And one of the first people out of the gate that is a potential for us is my mother. My mom is in, you know this, Brandt, I'm the youngest of 6 kids. My mom is now elderly and is in assisted living. And I have told my siblings, I'm like, this is something that between 6 of us, we should be able to do. She doesn't like the place where she is. She likes the people or the staff and stuff, but having a hard time there. And so, between my friend's schedule and my schedule, and possibly some respite help, we think that we could actually have my mom move in with us. And so we're going to be a little, my mom is a widow, we're going to be this little community of single women, most likely living in a house. We're building a house. We're literally like building a house, thinking of like aging, you know, accommodations in mind. But at the same time, other people who might need a place to stay. And, you know, this could be like, I know my sister right now is in transition. We have friends that are always kind of wondering where they're going to land if something happens and stuff. And so for us, it's an opportunity to get some of those benefits that married people have of shaving off your edges of living in, you know, in space with someone and saving some money, investing some money, having the opportunity to bless others, and free up money so that we can bless others in endeavors. And like I said, we literally made this decision in about the last 3.5 weeks, and we're moving forward and are excited about it.
What was the reaction? What has the reaction been? Have you told many people?
We've told a few people. I think we've gotten mixed reactions. I think we've gotten, you know, people are like, and you know, not everyone says something, you know, but here's what I'm taking from what people are saying.
Everything from, or what they're not saying.
Let me just break it down to the psychology of how this is working out.
Okay.
This is what I'm assuming. We're getting reactions, everything from, that is so amazing. This is such a super, you know, hipster, communal, organic experiment. Mm-hmm. To, I don't know, are you guys, you know, have you thought this through? Do you guys really get along well enough? Are you sure you can handle this? You both have pretty strong personalities. All the way probably to, I don't know, are they like lesbians? I don't really know what to do about that. So, you know, and I think too, and Sherry, you'll love this. Mm-hmm. I think some of my own sisters have been like, by signing up for this, are you signing away marriage forever? They think that we've settled. We're just like, this is our story and we're just going to live in it and forget everything else. So.
Man, let's take on each one of those. Let's start off with the writing it off, because oftentimes as you get older, and I am single, and not old, but older. And there's a time in my own, and I understand that I'm typically more pragmatic than the normal person, sometimes to a fault. So there are times when I'm like, okay, you have to actually look at, the older you get, is this going to happen for you? And if not, what does your life look like? You have to keep living. I can't keep living in this fantasy world where, you know, here comes a white horse and a guy on it. I mean, obviously that's a dream, but the older you get, I mean, like I think I told Brant one time, you know, the Boaz thing is real big right now in church and in singlehood.
I always take issue with the fact that it's a love story, but go ahead.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so I told Brant, like, we have 93-year-old single women waiting for Boaz to come. I mean, so how old is he? 150? Like.
Exactly. Some of us are.
Someday.
Someone's going to roll Boaz in.
We're too old to be sleeping on a threshing floor anymore, let me tell you that.
Boaz has a blanket on his lap.
Yeah.
And he will wheel in.
I need that blanket. Yeah.
So, okay. So talk about that. When people say, are you just giving up hope and you're settling, quote unquote, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I got that 11, 12 years ago when I bought my current home. Mm-hmm. People thought, you know, just by buying a house that I was basically signing up for terminal singleness, mm-hmm. you know, because then it was like, Lisa, you got to be flexible. You got to be mobile. You got to be, what if some guy, you know, wants to marry you tomorrow? And I'm like, I can't put my life on hold. Mm-hmm. You know, singleness isn't a waiting room for marriage. And so now, again, it's like, you know, it's anything that I do. I basically, you know, I've never wanted to be the singles poster child. Probably half of what I do is cementing my position there. Who knows? But I just have to say, you know what? The person I trust is the Lord in this. And anything could happen. God's got my story. This is where I am. And what better way to be a good steward and to make good financial decisions than to move ahead? And this has actually been, you know, I think I'm realizing it on the back end because it's happened so fast, but this is a huge opportunity to exercise faith because we're going in on this together. We've got each other's backs on this. We're investing cash in it. You know, we are trusting God that this is a good idea and that, you know, I don't know what it is like to live with my mom 24/7. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't done that in a long time. And this is probably going to be hard, but it's something I feel called to do, and I'm excited about it.
You know, you don't want to cement yourself into, I struggle with that. I do. I don't want to cement myself as a national single poster girl. I also don't want to live waiting for something that happens that may never happen, because you know what? As far as I can see, Lisa, he never promised it to me. God never promised it to
me.
So I don't know why I'm entitled to wait
no
for
guarantee.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. It is not guaranteed that it will be part of my story, and God does not need it in my story to glorify himself. He can do whatever he wants to do with my story. So I have to be open to that.
Okay, so now let's talk about, are they lesbians?
Yeah, and I think that's just a natural fear that a lot of people in the church have, largely because they don't have the conversation, largely because, you know, when I've talked to pastors and church staff people, most of them were married at like 21 to 24. Mm-hmm. So just being single past that age is weird. They don't know what to do with it. I think the other thing is, and this factor plays in across the church, is we just don't do friendship well. So anytime you truly decide to find a friend, commit to that friend, have that friend's back, decide to go deep into each other's lives, hold each other accountable, you know, be the kind of friend that I think truly we're called to be, and the way Jesus acted with his disciples, and the model of friendship that we see done well across the centuries, because people don't do that well because they don't have it in their own lives, it makes them wonder what that actually is. Yep. And so, you know, heaven forbid you do more than just go to movies and pizza with your friends. You know, you actually do Bible study with them. You actually, you know, get up in their business and hold them accountable to stuff. You actually choose to support them and have their back as they walk through life and struggle with their faith and all that. I think we need to do more of that in the church. And so maybe we'll be an example for that and see where it goes. But I guess we'll just have to, you know, take the naysayers as they come.
You may be like this. I would be the world's worst salesman. In fact, I was.
What were you selling?
I was selling cheese and sausage door to door.
Oh, I remember the cheese and sausage thing. Yeah.
That was horrible. No person with my personality type should be sent out to sell anything.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have a pretty outgoing personality, and I'm horrible at sales, too.
Yeah. You know what? We're both more comfortable selling other people's stuff.
Yes. But even then, I used to sell flowers at the grocery store I was at. They let me out on the patio because they thought she has a great personality. She'll sell the flowers. And all I did was talk with people the whole time. And then at the end of the talk, they'd be like, okay, I don't think I want any flowers. All right, well, have a great day.
Who cares? As long as we connect. Who cares?
Flowers.
The important thing is the relationship. Then go back into your boss. Well, how'd you do? Well, I started 46 new friendships.
And no flowers
picked up 12
sold.
Facebook friends. Yeah, so with that in mind, that's why, like, we've had opportunities to be sponsored by certain things in the past, and most of the time I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. Totally comfortable talking about MediShare because, I think a lot of people who are listening need it, and B, they're not-for-profit, and what they embody to me is actually profound. So we're happy to tell you about it. Probably would tell you about it even if they didn't sponsor once I figured out what it was and how mm-hmm. it worked, because my wife and I have done this sort of thing in the past. It's incredible. It's a nationwide community of believers who share each other's medical bills.
Yeah, and this is something, I mean, you'll have access to the largest network of PPO providers. It's much cheaper than a lot of plans that are out there. I mean, what do we say, the average
for... The typical plan is about $300 a month for a family.
And that's pretty good from what I understand.
Yes, it is. Let me tell you.
Okay.
As somebody who has a family. Anyway, if you're interested in this, here's what you do. Just call the number. It's 855-772-5699, and they'll send you information. And it's, again, 855-772-5699. And if you do actually wind up doing MediShare, let us know how you like it. I'd be curious how our listeners like
good.
It and stuff.
It's open enrollment, too, so there's no time period where you have to hurry up, and you can do it now. Or, like you said, I like what you said before, you may know people who need this.
Yep. Yep.
So,
and there's in terms of availability of doctors, it's some great news about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, just call them 855-772-5699. You know, I've said this a lot about men, and I've never thought about it about women until your situation, Lisa, when you decided I'm going to live in community with somebody else. I've always thought, man, men lose it when they're on their own. Mm-hmm. They really do. They just start to collapse inward. They start to lose perspective. They become more foolish, not more wise. When they, they go through their years of singleness, man, it's just they start to lose it. And so I don't.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that with women, but I suppose there's some degree of that too, where it's like this is a good way to mature. This is part of a larger discussion about sexuality and homosexuality and heterosexuality and those constructs. And they are constructs. But because they are, we have eliminated what you were referencing earlier, a healthy understanding of friendship. And this happens with men, as we know. It's like, oh, you can't be close.
because now it falls into this category. Well, that's ridiculous. Before we had those constructs, close friendships were common. It's just what's what you do. And it's unfortunate. Am I making sense?
That's perfect. The reason why I was looking at you that was because it was Jesus and the disciples.
Of course.
It's Paul and Silas. It's Paul and Barnabas. It's Timothy. It's Titus. I mean, these are actually modeled out for us in Scripture.
Yeah, which is too bad, though. But I think it's there is a need for single people to live in community with each other. I really believe that. And I've argued for it for a long time with my single friends. Mm-hmm. Like, move in with some guys, some fellow believers. You're going to have problems. Yes, problems are part of being human. But isolation is not. Mm. Isolation is a little foretaste of hell.
Yeah.
I mean, over time, we all love it. I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
But being by myself is the worst. I've had a taste of that. It's not good overall.
Mm.
So I got to ask you a question. Do you and your friend, and Sherry, you can talk about this too. How much do you talk about finding a guy? Like, oh, I met this guy, he's awesome, or is it, because that can become the discussion constantly among single people.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's become less for us in the last, 4 to 5 years. I feel like, for me, I've entered a space where I am much more settled with where I am in life. I feel like my 20s were a dating wasteland. No guy was good enough. I was working on my career because the California public schools told me to. And then I moved into my 30s and I tried to make up for lost time. And then there became this frantic, like, just date anyone because, oh my goodness, Lucy, your time's running out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm in a space where it's like, never felt called to singleness, still don't feel called to singleness. But at the same time, it's not like I have the time or capacity to be running chasing after guys, and I'm not really sure that that's biblical. And so I need to be about bigger and better things. I need to be about trusting God with where I am right now. And so we have conversations about it, and we've definitely, even around the house situation, said, what if one of us gets married?
Right.
And so so we have to work that out. In fact, it was funny when we sat down to sign the contract, the real estate agent asked us that, and we're like, oh yeah, we didn't really think about that. what do we do?
Uh-huh.
So, quite frankly, let's be honest, we haven't really thought through all of the ins and outs of this yet. But it is one of those things where we're both rooting for each other still.
Uh-huh.
We both know, within our own personalities, that we're going to be on the lookout for each other. And if God makes that happen, awesome. If he doesn't, we know that we still have a good friend and our families and other friends in our sphere, too. It's not just the two of us who truly have each other's back and love each other and care, within Christian community to be that person.
Worst case scenario is you wind up with a really awesome sitcom.
Well, or like just a reality TV show.
I think
we should just start inviting people to live with us, and then we'll maybe like pair people up and see what happens and have cameras on everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
I think maybe you could come in and host that for us.
I would love to
work that out.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Now the branding begins.
Yeah. This whole thing has been, how do I get on us?
Yeah. And then I'll move in. I'll be the awkward black friend. Every sitcom needs that.
No. You'll be the cute black friend with the cheeks that everybody wants to pinch. Let's get this straight.
No, you're going to be the one that comes in and makes that weird triangle where all of a sudden, like, people are insecure. And,
yeah.
Like,
all right.
Like,
yeah.
More. And
well, now you're Sherry's friend. You used to be my friend.
Mm-hmm. I've played that role to some success before, so.
And we'll have, just for you, Brent, just for you, we're gonna buy like 4 or 5 toasters. We'll just be cranking it out and sitting in front of the TV or the fireplace just chatting.
How this is working out.
Uh-huh. This is gonna be very entertaining.
Yeah.
I love it.
It'll be fun.
I would love for you, Lisa, to talk to maybe a single woman who's listening. And, being single and in a church is difficult. And I think people talk about it all the time, but I don't know that I've seen any significant shift in thinking that because you are not married, that it implies that there's something wrong. I think we carry that stigma, and I think people try not to imply it, but it's impossible not to, because it's so, how it got so deeply embedded in the church, I don't know, but I think that it is. And I think that at least for I'll speak for myself, I think I battled that more than being single. Like, I think I owned being single. I have friends, the majority of my friends who are, they are single, and the ones who got married have the most, I love you guys if you're listening, have the most miserable marriages that I look at it and I'm like, okay, thank you, Jesus. So I hope I can hold on to that. It's more this the stigma of, oh, not married yet. Oh, will you just wait? Hold on. God will do. He's doing work on you now. Like all of those things that imply, I know they're said out of a good heart, but they imply something's wrong with you. How does a person, male or female, get beyond that and just own where they are in their life? And like you said, their story, and that God has a pen and he's writing it, and it's okay. It's better than okay. It's celebrated. This is who he has made me to be. Yeah. This is where I am at right now. How does a person do that? Or at least the process, begin the process.
No, absolutely. And I think a lot of us as singles have to first look that some of these comments are coming out of, just like you said, Sherry, they're coming out of a desire to relate and a desire to help. And and it's kind of like, you know, surely in these people's minds, marriage has to be the best case scenario because it's what they know. And but it's also born out of their own fears and their own insecurities, because maybe many of them did marry because they needed to be taken care of, or they feared being alone, or they didn't have other relationships. And so they're kind of like, aren't you just like constantly lonely, or aren't you like fearful of living by yourself, or aren't you, don't you fear growing old and being alone? And I'm like, well, you know, actually the latter especially is something I have feared. And, and so I have to be honest with that. But at the same time, I have to recognize that, you know, it's kind of like this idea of when all my friends were getting married, I had to apply a unique application of the rejoice with those who rejoice. And it was, look, God is not taking marriage away from me so he can give it to someone else. He has unlimited resources, and he can get anyone married that he wants in any time frame, in any space, in any situation. It is not, you know, he's not having to limit his resources or deny me something because he's giving it to someone else. So I can only then assume that he has a story that he's working out that may or may not include marriage for me, but it is, he's completely sovereign over it, and he's completely good. And so that's the objective reality I have to put into my life. And, you know, there's a lot of squirrely things that I have, you know, you talked about some of them that women say to single women and all that. And I think, you know, sometimes I answer them, you know, with a little bit of humor. Sometimes I'm just honest. I mean, I will always have women ask me, are you sure you're putting yourself out there enough? And I'm like, look, I host an international show for single adults. If I'm not out there enough, I don't really know where else I can be. Okay. I mean, that is just an objective reality.
What else am I
so
supposed to
let's
do?
Be honest, people. I have been on the Focus on the Family broadcast, and I have plenty of prisoners writing to me. I have plenty of guys who are in their 70s. I have opportunities, people. I have opportunities. So I just have to trust. I have to trust that God is in this and that he knows what's what. And that, you know, it's just, I can't look anymore at my age, at my, you know, those are all realities. I will not be married in my 20s. I will not be married in my 30s. Those are realities. But also my reality is that my ultimate purpose here on earth is to glorify God and ultimately enjoy him forever. And so I need to know that. I need to know that it's more about being in, you know, more than about being in a relationship and finding some guy.
Yeah. And I had to be intellectually honest too. I had to say to myself, you have friends that are married and they are lonely, desperately in despair, lonely. So be intellectually honest with yourself, Sherry. That's what, if you do get married, that's not going to solve it. Because it hasn't solved it for them. So you can't, I had to tell myself, you don't get to post your hopes on something that you've seen doesn't necessarily work for that issue.
You're going to be trading one set of challenges for another set of challenges. Everyone has to trust God with something. Right now it may be singleness, but you know what? You get married, then you might have to trust God with infertility, or you might have to trust God with a rebellious teen, or with financial hardship or health stuff. Some of us have to trust God with multiple things at once. You know, it's how he works. He's growing us through it. And so we can't sit here and compare ledgers and act like some people are just getting multitudinous more favor than we are. And what's what's God about and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy making. So we have to just trust him. Marriage does sanctify people. I mean, there's no denying it. I think it's a great way that God uses for that purpose, in addition to, you know, showcasing the relationship between Christ and the church and a covenant and a sacrament and all that. But it doesn't mean that that singles are just left by the wayside and there's no way that they can grow and mature or be sanctified. There are plenty of things in our lives, too, that God is using, and we have to avail ourselves of those and be about that and be encouraged that he is working as well.
Yeah, I like how you say you have to avail yourself of it. And I really mean this. I'm talking mostly to guys on this, but guys can be so non-relational. If I were single, I think I'd really struggle with this. I would not avail myself of it. And I would not get the experience of being matured, but through relationship where you don't back out. And that's the struggle. Your book, it's called The Dating Manifesto, right?
It is, okay. Yes.
For some reason, I was about to say it, and I'm like, oh, I was not right. But I've read it. I love it. It's not out yet, but when it does come out, we want to talk to you more in length, you know, about this stuff.
In that, I mean, talk about that whole idea of, you know, solidifying my singleness. I remember having this point and typing the manuscript where I was like, is this going to be like, now my story is in black and white and my struggles and all of my failures. And, you know, having read the book, some of them are crazy. Am I just like signing over this death wish of singleness by saying, you know, oh, there's Lisa. So, this is why she's terminally single.
I am so glad to hear you say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that is difficult when you have a public platform and you speak to an issue that you're going through. You don't want to be branded as whatever that is.
Well, no, it's funny because in the book I tell the story of having a conversation with my mom, and it was on a Saturday, and she had asked me what I was up to, and I said, oh, I just finished an hour-long radio interview. And she said, on what topic? And I said, singleness. And she's like, oh, for Pete's sake, are you still on that topic? Why don't you find a lonely... no joke, she said, find a lonely man to marry you so you can move on.
All right. So, just to liven up the interviews.
And this is her whole, you know, I mean, bless her heart. She's in her 80s now, and she doesn't totally understand, like, radio and stuff. But she's like, I think her idea was that her daughter, you know, like, sometimes I talk about singleness, but sometimes I talk about debt consolidation. I'm an expert in all these topics, and I just go out and talk about them. So I'm like, no, Mom, that's really my topic right now. So, yeah. Anyway.
That's awesome.
She's a hoot.
Lisa, thanks so much. That is hilarious. And we'll look forward to talking to you more about singleness in our next interview. Let your mom know.
Let your mom know. Give your mom a heads up.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.